Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that Fish Tank.
Yes sir, yes sir, welcome back to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt live from the Casabella Design Group studios, in fact, the pride and soul of Casabella Design Group. Alvaro Freitas is floating around back here, so I just told Juice and the rest of the guys, let's not talk shit about him like we typically do.
That's half the show, Big Seth. That's half the show, man.
All right. We'll have to leave that half out. But I am joined, and you just heard his voice, I am joined by the man with the best hands in the live podcast business. He is OJ McDuffie. And Juice, where can we all get one of those jackets, man?
Well, you know, Big Seth, man, I can't tell you that, man. So it's a one of a kind, as far as I know. You know what I mean? And I don't do twinsies, man. So I can't tell you any of that.
We can coordinate, like we can text the show.
I was debating on. You know, I go up in my closet all the time, man, and see what the hell I'm gonna wear. Sometimes, man, I'm like, I get half shit for free, the other half I pay for like a dummy. You know, I really should go to our team store, man. I think we get a little player discount. Hey, it's not big, but I appreciate it. I'm not saying I don't want it. You know what I mean? But, yeah, so I thought I'd break this out. This is my winter jacket down here.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's a lightweight jacket.
Yeah, it's winter for us, though.
That's it.
I don't know. This winter was freaking cold.
I had my Scully cold on with it earlier.
Now, that's my kind of move right there. Before we get too deep into the fit, we have to, I mean, how could we not bring the All-American Emmy-adjacent producer into this thing, the legendary Savak, in the Paddock Club. They're getting ready to run the track.
Part of it like it's moved, though, Big Seth. It does not look like it's moved since the last time we saw it, man.
Yet. It is not time yet, all right?
It is the precision of those guys working in the Paddock Club where they take those things out, they move them around, they wash them, and they return them
right
to their exact
to the same spot. Okay.
Speaking of the same spot, how about our guy? He's been gone for a few weeks. He is back. It's Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel, and of course, Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk. And Perk returned to the spot with that good Wi-Fi.
Well, we'll see. Let's not make any judgments yet. We'll see.
Don't celebrate too soon, huh?
That's right.
Toes are crossed too, Big Seth. I got my toes crossed too.
That's right.
It only goes out after you ask him something.
That's the thing. When he gets... Perk, when you get fired up and you're really trying to emphasize something, that's when shit goes sideways. So
that's the message we want. That's the one we want to hear, right? Big Seth, and like, oh, he had something good right there.
Yeah, it just starts cutting in and out. I think he does it on purpose. That way it makes it seem like he keeps us on the edge of our seats. It makes it seem like he's really deep. Sam is in the house early. He wants a deep dive episode that runs through Juice's closet. Mm. We should do that. We need like a Cribs. We need like an MTV Cribs.
No. It's not the same crib I used to have, man. I've downsized a lot. You know, the wife has the big house. So, yeah, this is my apartment now. But I still got a lot of shit in it.
I bet you got it. I bet
a lot of stuff. Perk, last week I said I wasn't going to cuss as much. I got a lot of stuff in it, bitch.
Yeah, well, you came out hot.
that's your 11-month resolution.
Right. Start right now.
Too good. Sorry, my typing is bad. I said begotiate instead of negotiate. Perk's Wi-Fi works as long as he doesn't use it. That's exactly the point. So a lot to discuss. You know what? I was going to make our special announcement early, but I'll wait. I'll wait until we get a little deeper into the show. Yeah. And there's a few more folks here because we do have some exciting news here in the fish tank. And actually, I think it's news to Perk. And Perk loves news. He's in the news business, in fact.
He does.
What is that picture behind you, Perk?
Yeah.
What is that picture behind you?
Oh, that's a Salvador Dali painting.
Is it? Is it an original?
Well, no. I think we all know it's a print, right? We do all know that, right?
Well, I just wanted to know.
I mean, we heard you were at one of those guys at the Louvre, Perk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't catch up to you yet, though. You got back.
No, I got out of the country.
Well, what a great robbery. Everybody who's working there just ran and hid. They didn't even know what to do. Well, now, Savak says he has a Dali print hanging in the Paddock Club as well. Which one is it? Which piece? Can you tell us what piece it is?
That is Coming to America.
Coming to America is a great – the Eddie Murphy version or the Dali version?
it's a little bit of both,
or the
really,
bad, or the me. Bad Bunny version.
The Bad Bunny version. Let's go. So, right. Well, you know what? We probably shouldn't go there. We probably shouldn't go there because the whole that's idea funny. Of coming that's to America funny. When he was in America, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. But, well, kind of America. So, speaking of Bad Bunny, we got to talk Super Bowl, right? I mean, you know, unfortunately, for yet another year, the Dolphins have nothing to do with the Super Bowl.
Right.
But we can't be, you know, guys who talk about the NFL and not talk about the Super Bowl. I will just get out in front of this thing. I recognize that we made our picks last week, and I was the only guy that thought the Patriots were going to make it happen. And clearly, there's egg on my face. So live it up. You guys, go ahead, Juice, Savak. Tell me why I was wrong.
Shame on you, first and foremost, for rooting against a division rival.
It wasn't about rooting. I didn't have a rooted interest.
It was. I saw it in your face. You
saw it in my face.
I saw it in your face. It's the same look you always have, but it still looked different when you said that. You know what I mean? So, yes. Thank goodness that, you know, New England took that L. And you know what, man? I mean, I just, you know, I thought they'd been lucky all year long.
Yeah.
I really did. It started off with the schedule, then it started off with the competition at times, especially us. You know what I mean? You know, and then, you know, then the quarterback situations they ran into as they made their run with quarterback going down, players going down. Their team was pretty much, in my opinion, healthy the whole time. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm really glad they took that L. Anytime a team within our division gets beat up, man, I'm elated, man. So it's it was a good one, and I'm so glad you picked it, Seth, because now I'll know this. Anytime you pick something, I'm probably gonna pick opposite that, because that was
that
was a butt whooping right
that
there.
That one decision has ruined
I'm
my
sure you've had a couple other L's. We gotta go back in history though. So if I've had back the tape on some other things, we'll figure it out though.
Well, there is a reason why I stay away from predictions, and now you know.
Right.
Lou from Dade in the house. Welcome, Lou. Good to see you. So, Savak, go ahead. You can get it in, too. You were also on the I was right, you were wrong tip.
I wasn't going to say nothing. but yes, just a little bit. I think, you know, we all knew they had a better roster. But what did not go unsaid, what went unsaid, I meant to mention it during my I tried to tell you, or during my prediction rather, was that I felt they had the better coach, at least on paper. You know, Mike Vrabel, you had Josh McDaniels. This is a collection of coaches with a proven track record. So I don't fault you too much for taking them, but yeah, you were wrong. Sorry.
I know I was. So, Perk, who did you pick?
I picked New England. I was like you. And here's why I picked New England, though, is because I thought that their defense and their run game were going to be able to deliver the victory. Seattle was clearly the better team, like clearly. But I'll say this, the whole thing about New England having the easy schedule, that's an indictment on Buffalo and Denver and the teams they beat, right? Because what you're saying is New England didn't deserve to be there.
And Miami.
But right, everybody in the AFC, it's an indictment against them. You can't hold that against New England. If I'm not mistaken, that was the first game away from Gillette Stadium they lost all season, right? I think they were undefeated on the road until the Super Bowl, I think. Double check that. But they deserved to be there because nobody took it from them. Lamar Jackson didn't take it from him. Joe Burrow didn't take it from him. Josh Allen didn't take it from him. Bo Nix didn't take it from him. Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. We can go down the list of the AFC quarterbacks who didn't take it from Drake May, who I think is overrated. But anyway, look, Seattle was the best team. Let me say this also. Let me say this real quick. Seattle's special teams also kicked ass, right? Five field goals, and didn't they have like four punts inside the 20 or something like that? So the starting field position for New England was quite often bad. So great job by Seattle. Dumb job by me not to recognize they were clearly the better team, but it was a butt kicking for the second straight year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was. And it was, you know, a first half, 9-0 first half is about like the worst case scenario for a suit. I mean, because that's about as
not
boring.
Unless you had those squares, Big Seth. Did you
do the squares game, Juice? Juice used to have the square game of all square games.
I did.
Like, yeah, it was impressive.
I did not do it this year, though, man. I tried to get in a couple, but I got in a little late. You know, I never win anyway. So I said, man, why am I wasting my money on this crap?
It's kind of why I stopped
that word. See what I did? See that synonym I've used? That's a big word like mayonnaise. A synonym. Instead of what I wanted to say, I said crap.
What's the goal here? What's the goal here with this?
Make it minimal. I want at fewer than 10 curse words per show.
So how did you choose that number?
I just made it up just now.
Okay.
Hey, Juice.
All right, that, cool.
Yes, I had so to come only up with a number. Down.
You got 9 to go. I think you should get them in.
That's right.
I'm about to save before I try to tell y'all. I don't know.
No doubt. So when you guys watch a game like that, do you sit there? Like, I get angry now because I'm like, what? And actually that one, because you saw bad football from New England, it wasn't as much. But sometimes some of the playoff games I watched, and you just watched high-level football, and it just pissed me off for what we have been subjected to. And so my question, and I'll start with Perk on this one, what do the Miami Dolphins have to do to even at least be as bad as New England was in the Super Bowl, but to be elite, to get to the big game? And can they do it in, you know, I'm not saying everybody has to do it in 1 year like Vrabel did, but can they do it in 3 years? Synonym toast crunch. Sam is on fire. Sam, this show would not be the same without you, my friend. So, yes, Chris Perkins, what do the Dolphins have to do? What does Jeff Hafley and Sully need to do?
I don't want to kill my – I tried to tell y'all, but the first thing I think that they need to do is rebuild this defensive line. And I know in the last 2 years, they've spent 4 draft picks on D-line, including 2 first-round picks in Kenneth Grant and Shop Robinson. But we're seeing what defense does for teams, right? Both of the Super Bowl champs the last 2 years, Philly and Seattle, played good defense. Both of the runners-up, Kansas City and New England, played good defense. These are I'll give you guys the numbers of where these defenses rank later on in the I tried to tell y'all, but I think when you don't have an elite quarterback, which is the case for, what, 28 teams in the NFL, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, or Josh Allen, you pretty much don't have an elite quarterback. You need to build up your defense and your run game. So to me, the Dolphins have, look, I admire the way they've tried to build the trenches the last 2 years. They need to go back to the drawing board. I didn't see enough from Kenneth Grant, from Jordan Phillips, from Zeke Biggers. Quite honestly, I didn't see enough from Zach Sealer either. And he's going to be 31 in September. So they need to reinvest in D-line, both from a pass rush and a run game standpoint. Whenever you find your quarterback, whether it's this year or next year, I'm not for Malik Willis, by the way, then you find your quarterback, but build up that defense and start with the defensive line. You need edge rushers and tackles. That's what I think is the first step for this team to get back to glory.
Well, hold on. They can't draft another tackle this year. Like, they can't unless – come on, Perk.
Seth, you don't have a good tackle. None of those guys from last year are headed to a Pro Bowl
you
or
don't
anything
think they're
good,
gonna develop?
Are they?
You know, no. I think that I saw some signs of guys that are going to be able to develop and be good players. But you can't – I mean, if they draft – you spent the 13th overall choice on a tackle. Then you took another one in the fifth round. Then you took another one in Biggers. You didn't get a tight end. You still don't have a tight end. And you passed up opportunities in both the first round to maybe have arguably the best tight end in the draft. Yep. You know, if you go, I mean,
but
I guess
Seth,
you can because it's a whole new staff and they can wipe their hands of whatever happened in the past.
Right.
But golly.
That's the key to me.
Michael Weaver, I agree with you.
This was not their picks. They're trying to turn the soil. Like, you can't be held hostage by what was there before. You have to start anew. You have to get your plan, your guys. If these guys aren't good enough, you have to get them out. I don't care when they were drafted or how high they were drafted. You've got to get those guys out the door if they can't do the job. And I haven't seen any indication that players from last year's draft class, as much as they played, I don't see a Pro Bowl in the future for a single one of them.
Here's a problem with all that, in my opinion, Perk, though, is that for one, I think those young guys came on really strong second half of the season.
Agreed.
I really do feel that way. But also, we're going into a whole new situation with Coach Half, who's a defensive-minded coach, and who knows what he can do to put those guys in position to be successful. You know, they're talking about already how they're going to see what players they're not just going to go ahead and say, here's what defense or what offense we're going to play. We're going to see what talent we have and what we have, and they're going to try to, you know, build around that. I've got to believe that the Grants and the Biggers and the, you know, and the Phillips are going to be part of their plan moving forward, especially like Seth said, that Zach's getting a little bit older. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I got to think that they're going to find a way for those guys to be multiple enough and be, you know, and I think this, and they talked a lot about gap responsibilities where these guys won't have to, you know, two gap as much. I think I heard a lot about that talk. So these guys might be able to play their style of football, just firing off in their gaps and be able to make some plays. So I think it's a wait and see thing with those guys, whether they can be what you said. I get it. Beginning of season was abysmal when it came to that defensive line. I thought, like, damn, you know what I mean? We got another first round pick that's not, you know, living up to that first round pick billing, you know. But at the same time, though, I thought that he started to show some signs towards the second half of that season. And who knows what can happen in that second part of the season. Look, I had 15 catches my first year as a first-round pick, bro.
Bust.
You know what I mean? I was a bust. I was a straight first-round bust, you know, and until I started, you know, setting the other guys up, like making Urban Fryer late for meetings and Mark Ingram. I told him to go to the wrong airport and things like that. And then I got my opportunities, you know. You know, that's not true. That's definitely not true.
So, I was like, is that where Rodney learned that?
Second year, give my boys a second year, Perk, is all I'm asking. Give them another year, man, all right? That's all I'm
well,
asking.
Well, here's what I'll
yeah, you
say
can't
to that,
give, I mean, Perk, you can't throw in the towel after 1 year.
No, I'm not saying cut these guys. I'm saying add to them. I don't think that any of them, none of them are going to turn out to be a Zach Sealer, a Tim Bowens, a Daryl Gardner. Like, I don't, a Paul Soliai, a Randy Starks.
Write this down.
Like, I don't know. I'm just saying, look, what I'm saying is you have a disappointing first round pick in Kenneth Grant and then a fifth round pick and a seventh round pick. That like, really? Don't you want a first or a second or a third up there? Like somebody, like you look around the league and how many of your top D tackles are in the fifth and seventh round? Not many. So all I'm saying, you need numbers. You need numbers. I'm not saying give up on Biggers and Jordan Phillips. I really like Jordan Phillips. I like him more than I like Kenneth Grant, by the way. I'm not saying give up on them, but none of them can rush the passer, right? You need a pass rusher from the inside. None of them are is excels, I think Grant's at run stop.
Best chance to rush the passer.
What's that?
Well, Perk, answer. I mean, maybe I don't know enough about the style of play there, but weren't they pretty much two gapping for the most part to get Brooks and those guys going?
Yeah,
I don't see that's the way the system's going to go this year. I think the system's going to be more about gap. Right, so when you start doing gaps, it gives these guys a better chance of getting at quarterbacks, doesn't it?
It does, but look, I'm just looking at Shop Robinson, and what I've seen from this man for 2 years is not good enough, and I don't want to get caught in that same gap at D tackle that you're at in edge rusher right now, where if you cut Chubb and you don't have Jalen, you're relying on Shop. That's not a good place to be. You've got to add right now.
I agree with you on the edge. I agree with you on the edge. But, like, even as you were talking about, I don't see a Zach Sealer. I don't see a Randy Starks. Zach Sealer got cut from his first team, and he was an undrafted free agent as a rookie, right, in Baltimore. He didn't become Zach Sealer until he was here. Randy Starks was good, not great, until he kind of got here, and he was really good. But I just think you got to give him a chance to develop. And if they invest, they have so many holes that if they invest heavily into the interior defensive line, and especially if they do that early in the draft, I will be shocked. I will be shocked, which I've been shocked before.
Yeah. You were shocked New England got beat.
I was not shocked. I just was wrong. It's different.
You know what? So here's what I think, though, in the first three rounds, the Dolphins have five picks, right? One in the first, one in the second, three in the third. And if I'm not mistaken, the third round picks are numbers 78, 87, and 90. I think all five of those, they've got five in the first 90 picks. Ideally, it doesn't have to go this way. In those first five, I would like to see them address quarterback, edge rusher, D tackle, and O-line, whether it's a starting guard or a backup right tackle. Now, who knows if all those are going to be available? But, you know, did I say corner? Did I say cornerback? Cornerback.
No.
Okay, corner, edge, quarter, and D-line, O-line. That's but you know, if look, you could go safety also if the Caleb Downs kid is there, but I'm still all about building the trenches first, so you know, you take that for what it's worth. But if you're gonna go quarterback every year, like they say that they would like to, I don't take that literally. But first three rounds is where you need to get a starter. If you're going fourth through seventh, you're pretty much picking a backup quarterback.
Okay.
Well, you know, since you're talking about the quarterback, because I wanted to address that fourth through seventh. But let's just go back into – you're talking about the quarterback, and you just kind of sprinkled in there.
He threw it in there, didn't he? Big
you don't think – you're not high on the Malik Willis idea. Tell us why.
But here's why, because I think Malik Willis – and this is probably going to be my column for Friday. You can't just date Malik Willis. You have to marry him, right? Because he's going to be in demand, and he's probably going to want, what, $15, $20 million a year? Maybe more than that. Here's my problem. If he's not a starter, that's pretty much dead money, right? You can't – he has to – at that price, he has to come in as a starter, and then you have to commit to him for 2, maybe 3 years. I haven't seen that out of Malik Willis. In a 4-year career, I haven't seen somebody that I want to give $20 million a year for the next 3 years. That's why I'm not for Malik Willis. If he wants to give a hometown discount and come here for $15 million and try to win the starting job, okay. But I think somebody else out there is going to offer him more and bring him in as the starter.
I do think you're right. The price tag is going to be high, and that's the biggest concern. However, I will say that if anybody is in an advantageous position to make a decision and to take that gamble, I would at least, you know, I'm not big on this whole Green Bay South thing, but at least these guys know what they have in Malik Willis better than anybody else, you know, better than anybody else that's going to have to make a decision on the guy. Does that mean they should go all in on him? I don't know. Everything else kind of says that that's the way that they would lean, but I understand it. So you're not necessarily against him. You're against him at that price tag, the reported potential price tag. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, because he has to come in here and win the job. If he was coming in here as the starter, okay, that's fine. But again, you're marrying this guy for 2 or 3 years at a high price, and you don't even know if he's good enough to start for you.
Yeah.
You know what I like about Malik Willis, and I've been watching the last few games, and of course, you know, you can be enamored by, you know, some of the things that he's done, you know, and they won a couple games, I think they lost a couple games, whatever his record was, it doesn't really matter to me. But what I do like about him is, like what Steph said, first and foremost, you know, JES, they know him very well. You know, I think Half knows him very well. I think he probably performed against Half's defense as a scout team quarterback a lot.
Yeah.
Would know exactly what some of this guy's abilities and inabilities are. But I also know this for a fact. This kid can play in cold weather, Perk. You know what I mean? All I really want is a quarterback that can play in cold weather effectively. Not just dress out there, you know, get your 3 hours in and get back on the bus and come back to South Florida. I know that we got a quarterback that can play in cold weather. So that's where, if I'm looking for a free agent quarterback, they had to play in the Arctic somewhere before we bring them down here, bro. That's my goal right there. And the fact that he's done all that, if we make the move for him, you know, obviously we're in salary cap hell. That doesn't count either, by the way. Hell does not count as one of my words.
I can't wait till you unleash the 8 you got left.
I'm trying to stay below, Seth. I'm going with the under, man. You know, I'm going with the under.
All right.
I'm going with the under. So I just like that idea no matter what. But we just have to find somebody, you know, no matter what it is. If we draft somebody, Perk, they're not going to be a starter right away. You know what I mean? You got to bring in the older guys in order to be successful in this league right now, right?
Well, I you know what? I think that we're seeing that there's a best business practice, but there is no formula, right? Because, look, I mean, look what we just saw in the Super Bowl. We saw a retread first-round pick and a young first-round pick. And by the way, the quarterback play was ass all throughout the playoffs. I think Sam Darnold was the best with five touchdowns and no interceptions in 3 games, if I'm not mistaken. Drake May
and
had
a Super Bowl
seven effing fumbles in the playoffs. Seven. The quarterback, C.J. Stroud, was ass, right? Trevor Lawrence wasn't that great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bo Nix was so-so before he got injured. He was so-so. But, yeah, here's my thing, Juice. They don't have to find their franchise quarterback this year. That's my big thing. Don't marry Malik Willis. If you could date him, okay, but there's better quarterbacks coming next year. So hold off for that one.
Is anybody shocked that Chris Perkins, the ultimate bachelor, is saying don't marry Malik Willis?
Just date him.
Just date him.
Date him on a DL.
Exactly. Hey, two cell phones, man. Two cell phones.
Stop stressing. Yours is going to beat out everybody. Okay.
I think, honestly, Perk, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. But I think, honestly, the game this year and probably part of last year has changed, man.
It has.
The quarterbacks haven't been the signature guys anymore. It's right. Not defense and run game that have been right. Winning these games anymore. It's kind of gotten back to old school football.
Yep.
You know, where you're going to play solid defense and you're going to run the football, because I think that a lot of these defenses have started to figure out some of these little fancy offenses, especially like the way ours was. Ours got figured out, you know, I mean, after a year, it was like what we were trying to do definitely wasn't working. But a lot of people have that same mentality offensively. But I think now they're like, you know what? Instead of all this, you know, smoke and mirrors, let's just pound somebody down the throat or line up our defensive guys and beat them that way. Now, Seattle, they're used to just playing four and winning that way. But then they started bringing these pressures that they couldn't make up for. They couldn't block them. You know, they were coming from places where Drake May wasn't able to get the ball off, and those guys are playing a shell behind them. I think that's the new formula now. It's kind of like, you know, kind of like bell bottoms came back in at one point. I think the defense and running the football game is the new way of doing things right now, you know?
And short shorts, Juice. Who would have thought? Short shorts.
For who?
For Juice. Everybody's wearing damn John Stockton's these days.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we used to wear the John Stockton's, but we always had like some other ones underneath it.
Some grays underneath them or something,
really
right?
Out there, man. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
That should be a cuss word.
Perk, Sam. Perk says, Sam says that Perk pronounces the word ass better than anybody on the planet. So that's pretty good. All right. I'm going to move on to the second thing that I have on the list here. How about the fact that former Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel, who is the offensive coordinator now for the, I wanted to say San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers, will be joined by former Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase. I mean, how about that superpower? Is those two guys teaming up? Is that going to be – and, by the way, they're going to be coaching the quarterback that the Dolphins probably should have drafted with the fifth overall pick. So is that kind of like going to be the ultimate slap in the face for the Miami Dolphins? How closely are the Dolphins going to watch that triumphant, and how closely are they going to be rooting against those three guys? Or will it just be another thorn in our side if they have this immense success?
I'm going to tell you this, Big Seth. It's really a great, great pickup by the Chargers. It really is. In terms of, like, I think Mike's niche in the league, I think, is offense coordinator. And we know that Adam Gase is a brilliant offensive mind as well. Mm-hmm. Well, the head coaching Mike is probably not either one of their fortes.
Right.
But the running offense, I think I think both of those guys, and think about this, you know, Mike we saw develop as a passing, you know, as a brilliant mind in passing the football. We know Adam Gase likes to design things, but Mike was a run game coordinator before that, you know? So I think that those two together could be a hell of a combination when it comes to offense. And it's also a situation where Harbaugh can be pretty much hands-off because they both have head coaching experience, you know? And I think that that's a pretty good formula. When you've got the prototype quarterback, quote-unquote, you know, if you can get his head right, Herbert could be amazing with those two guys, you know, calling plays or designing plays or giving him chances out there. Plus, he's got the ability to run. And I know that Rondé Gasson II's got to be, you know, chomping at the bit to get the opportunities to learn from these guys and be able to run in this offense. It could be a problem for a lot of the league. It really could be.
Well, that, you know, as you're talking about OG2, that's going to be another one, right? If you watch the quarterback that a lot of people thought the Dolphins should have drafted throw to the son of a beloved Miami Dolphins receiver who a lot of people thought the Dolphins could have and should have drafted in the fourth or fifth round, I mean, it's just – I just feel like the Chargers are going to be – it's going to be very difficult for Dolphins fans to watch the Chargers have even a modicum of success this year. I think it's going to be a tough pill.
And they will have success.
And their division
is, you know, other than Denver, you know, you got the Raiders and you got the Chiefs. Mahomes, who knows when he comes back, their division sets up nicely for those guys too to be very successful.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. And by the way, I will say this. They could score 60 points a game. That doesn't mean the Dolphins should have kept either of those two guys as their head coach.
No, I'm not definitely saying that.
Yeah. Right.
I told you, and by the way, where they're at. Their niche is where they're at.
And I think they're going to be, you know, just like we're – like we're Green Bay South, they're going to be Dolphins West because they also have Butch Berry as the offensive line coach and Max McCaffrey, who was the offensive assistant. Max McCaffrey was the guy who before the game, you know, Tua would always go out there and warm up with Daryl Bevel. Max McCaffrey would be out there with the other two quarterbacks, Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers. And so, you know, he's got quarterback work in his background also. So Dolphins West out there. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens.
What would you guys think about if all of a sudden Herbert started showing up 2 hours before the game barefoot, taking reps without the football and warming up with? How would you guys feel about that if we saw that become his pregame routine and a coffee mug in his hand?
I don't care how they show up.
You almost, I felt like there was a moment there where you almost like gave us back three or four of those swears that you heard monsters. I felt like there was a moment right there that you were going to do that. All right. So in the spirit of things that pissed Dolphins fans off on the offensive side of the football, the Dan Patrick Show featured an interview with Drew Brees. Yeah. Now, we have discussed this ad nauseum, and we have had some great telling of that story on the Fish Tank. I think one of the best that we heard was Jason Garrett, and I guess Jason Garrett must have shared something similar to Dan Patrick, and then Dan Patrick asks Drew Brees about it. And you know how when you think you're over something, then you just get reminded that you're not, you need to go back to therapy? I don't know about you guys, fellas, but that's like exactly what happened to me. So Drew Brees is like, hey, on paper, it was the Miami Dolphins and it was a no-brainer, right? And then he starts talking about, I'm on the boat and we're going to go to Scotland and golf with Danny. Now Dan Marino's my man. And on and on. I just wanted him to shut up.
I mean, honestly, man, it really did open up another room, man. It really did open up another scar that we had to be reminded again of, you know. And let's go back to that situation, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's go back to that situation. You know, we're talking about the interview and what Drew had said. But, I mean, we all have to think now. If we got a Drew Bledsoe really didn't have the strongest arm in the world versus Dante Culpepper is the strongest arm in the world. Excuse me?
Brees, not Bledsoe.
Right.
What'd I say?
Bledsoe, but it's it was just,
oh yeah, Brees, yeah, yeah, you know the fuck. Damn, you know what the heck I was talking about? Yeah, Drew Brees.
We got two.
Yeah, Drew Brees. You know, if we go back at that and we look and we debate that, how many of us are taking Drew Brees over Dante Culpepper back when that all came out, man? I think we're all going with Pep with a bad knee over Brees with a bad throwing arm. And then he told us that the doctors came back. Saban said he came back and said he had a 25% chance of getting back to where he was. You know, and I mean, when you're weighing that as your quarterback, of course, mentally you're one thing, but when you're weighing that as your quarterback, you got the arm is the first thing. Even when Danny's arm started to go, Peyton Manning's arm started to go, you know, then they were not the same dudes that they were anymore. You know, so if you got a Drew Brees who's semi-athletic, small in stature, you know what I mean, and his arm's never that strong, and then you've got a 25% chance of getting back, I think we all were saying the Pep decision was probably the best decision.
Right.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Now, hindsight, obviously, is 2020, what happened after that. But at the same time, though, man, yeah, it was tough seeing that. The Saints said, we don't even care, basically what he said, right, Seth? Like, yo, we just know what you bring to the
We don't need no tests.
We don't need any tests. He said, we test the hell out of him. 6 hours. 6 hours we tested. Poking needles into his nerves. I'd have left at that point. You know what I mean? Like, I'd have left at that point if I was Drew Brees, man. But, yeah, man, that's a tough one to hear it again. And, you know, we've heard it from Jason Garrett, like you said. If you guys haven't heard that podcast, yeah, when we sat down with Jason Garrett, it was amazing. And he talked about that situation. Obviously, he was in the building with Nick Saban. And, man, oh, man, that was a tough deal, bro. And then you go on and see somebody have success. You want Drew Brees to fail after that as you're a Dolphin. But he went on for bigger and better things, obviously, a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, I mean, is that the worst decision in Dolphins history? Worst decision in Dolphins history?
Here we You got to run that back again, Perk. I'm sorry.
Was that the worst decision in Dolphins history?
Oof. Ooh.
I mean, you think about it, probably set you back. And you look, we've been looking for a quarterback since, right?
Yep.
You know, Ewers was the 27th starting quarterback since Dan Marino retired. I think Drew Brees might take about 10 of those off.
Yeah. And
he takes 10 of those off if we had him when he was, you know, if we knew what we know now.
And what was a worse decision? Was it taking Dante over Drew Brees or passing on Brees? I should just say that. Passing on Brees as a free agent or passing on Brees in the draft?
As he came out.
Instead making the decision to take Jamar Fletcher to, you know, the hope was that he would grow into the role of either Sam or Pat as those guys aged out.
You can go either way. I don't think anybody. I watched Drew play at Purdue. You know, like I said, you know, played in the Big Ten. I didn't see Drew as being that kind of guy. Because we got Fletcher in the first round. I didn't see Drew as first round talent when he came out. No.
Yeah. Right. I mean, maybe not. So, not so it was a work decision.
It's a good question. You know, it's so tough because I don't know that everybody – like Lamar Jackson became Lamar Jackson because of the way – certainly because of his immense talent, but also I have to believe that the way Baltimore handled his development and the way they put a team around him was a big part of what allowed him to first be just the freakish athlete that he was and then develop into a top-tier quarterback – you know, where he was as much of a threat as a passer as he was as a runner. I don't know that that development would have happened here. And Drew Brees maybe wouldn't have needed, right? I don't know. I just think some guys wouldn't have been fit. So, you know, one that people talk to all the time was Jimmy Johnson trading out of the 19th. I think it was the 19th spot. He trades back in that draft, ends up getting John Avery when he could have had Randy Moss. And so, like, if you look at the career Randy Moss had, you go, well, maybe that was one of the worst decisions. I don't know what young Randy Moss on South Beach, like, I don't know, Juice. You would have had him in your wide receiver room. Like,
oh, man, Big Seth, that doesn't count either. You know what I mean? I'd allowed, you know how much I would have loved that right there? For him taking two and taking over the top, and I get to run my little intermediate routes.
That's it.
I mean, I just don't know.
They weren't looking out for you, boy, man. And you know what? I didn't think about all that, man. Now I'm even more upset right now.
I mean, that's a huge one. You know what I mean? You go all the way back. Well, who was the guy? I mean,
take off my gear, man. I'm about all done with this team, man.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. If you go back farther, you know, Richard Sedline is one.
But you know what? It's always that way. It's always going to be that way, man.
Charles Harris or TJ Watt, right?
It's always going to be that way, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is. Look, how many teams passed on Zach? How many teams passed on JT? Right. You know what I mean? How many teams passed on me? How many teams passed on Dan Marino? It's always going to be that way, man. You know, guys will be, you know, they'll go out and they'll excel. And you'll be like, damn, we could have had that guy instead of the guy we picked instead. Look at those five quarterbacks. Yeah, went before Marino. A couple of them obviously were very, very successful. But the other three were garbage. And one of them was a Penn Stater.
Well, right. And, you know, like Pittsburgh made a choice there that I mean, probably one of the biggest mistakes they've ever made. And that's the question, right? It's not saying we're the only team that does it.
Right.
But we've
right.
done it in droves, and which one was the worst? So,
seems like we've done it more than most, though, huh? Seems
worst
like
decision in Dolphins history is allowing Zonka, Kick, and Warfield to sign with the WFL. So that's a great – I love that. But was that on the Dolphins as much as it was on those guys? I don't know.
No, they had to do that, man. The money was so great, and they were making so little money in the league, man. They had no choice.
I just saw, I don't know. Sam said Tootsies would have been called Mossies if Randy came here. That's pretty good. So, all right. Well, there's enough people in the room here. I teased. What's great?
Randy's doing his thing. We don't know what Randy's private life was like. Well, you know, some of the times he got a little bit of trouble, but he still showed up and had 10 grabs a game. You know, he's at every game. You know, he's mooning the people
I thought that was funny.
I thought it was hilarious. You know, league didn't, obviously. But, you know, and it's cash money, homie. You know what I mean? So I like, you
top, top 2-3 receiver in the history of football?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
For sure.
Yeah.
Fair.
I think so. Sure. So I teased it earlier in the show, and man, but I love the delay Perk is on, especially when I tell a joke, because I get the first laugh and then the second laugh. I love it. So good. So we do have some special announcements. The first one, which I think is the biggest one, is that we and I should have sent him a link. I should have sent a link to Mike. I was going to say Olivia again, Savako. I was going to say my man, Mike Oliva. I think he's still in the chat. So, and Dolphins Talk, we have forged a really cool partnership with Dolphins Talk. It's going to start next week. So first and foremost, the way it's going to impact the experience for our listeners, I think everything is going to be positive. But Fish Tank Live will be moving to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. So on Wednesday night, starting next Wednesday, you'll be able to find Fish Tank Live. It's same show. The show's not changing, but it'll be on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And then ultimately, we'll also replay it on our YouTube channel. And then our audio podcasts will also get replayed on the Dolphins Talk, their RSS feed. So if you subscribe to Dolphins Talk, hopefully you'll subscribe to both of us, but you'll be able to hear us in either spot. And then our video of our podcast will launch first on Dolphins Talk's YouTube, and then ultimately we'll have them as well. So just a really cool thing that the Fish Tank is spreading its wings. We've had a great relationship with Mike and the whole Dolphins Talk family for really since we started the show. It was one of the first interviews we did when we launched the show, right, Juice?
Yes,
yeah, so we're excited to see where this partnership takes us and looking forward to working with Mike and the crew there. So that's a special announcement number one. Special announcement number two coincides with that. And Perk, you're going to love this. Juice and I just did an hour-long spectacular interview with one Richie Incognito. It was an absolute blast. It was interesting. It was deep. It was funny. Richie teased some news of his own. So, he has some big news that's going to be coming up soon, and he was happy to share it with us. I think he was really excited to talk to Dolphins fans through us. So that was great. And so the Richie Incognito episode is going to drop on audio on Tuesday. And then on that Thursday, the video will drop on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. So we're excited about that. And then the final thing, and this is very preliminary, but Juice, Savak, and I are also launching another show. As if we have nothing else to do, we're going to roll out another podcast. And this is for the card collectors out there, because, this might come as a surprise to you, Juice, but I was a bit of a geek growing up. But I loved my trading cards. Not only I love my Dolphins, but we are launching a show, and it's called Fin Condition. And we only want to talk about Dolphins cards. We're going to talk about some of my favorite cards. Juice and Savox have some of their favorite cards. We hope you guys who will listen to the show and follow, we want to hear about some of your favorite Miami Dolphins trading cards. I don't want to hear about anything else unless it's tied to the Dolphins in some capacity. I really don't care about PSA grades. We're not going to be opening up packs blind for people to see and guess and can I get a pull and all that shit. We don't care about that. We just want to appreciate the nostalgia, the stories, the memories that come with these cool cards. So keep an eye out for Fin Condition. We'll have more information on that coming up soon. Those are my three announcements. And now I think it's time to roll into I Tried to Tell Y'all. Juice, you know you're always our leadoff.
Yeah. You know what, man? I tried to tell y'all that I am the sorest loser in the world. I mean, I actually hate second place. I think the fact that I'm the only child, my mom knew that I would hate second place in case she chose my sibling as her favorite child. You know what I mean? But who doesn't hate second place? And you know, I know Chad isn't with us tonight. You know, I mean he's on paternity leave with his beautiful daughter Kiara. Spent a little time with her yesterday. But I'm even Chad's backup godfather. You know what I mean? When the real godfather Matthew can't make it, I'm the guy that steps in there. You know, I just played in Jason Taylor's wiffle ball. Jason Taylor Foundation Wiffle Blast, and we finished second. I'm still pissed about that. I really am. I finished second in the state championship my senior year in high school in football. Definitely not over that shit. I mean, there we go. Add it up. And then I thought about it. Jack Nicklaus, who, you know, some consider the greatest golfer ever, finished second 19 times in majors in golf. I mean, he's won 18, but damn, he finished second 19 times. The great Tiger Woods has finished 7 times second, even though he's won 15 victories. Hell, LeBron James has finished second 6 times in the NBA Finals, but he's been to 10 of them. I mean, does that make them losers? I mean, look again. Now, Buffalo, well, they finished second 4 times, 4 consecutive years. Well, they are losers. They are losers, you know. But we've been talking about the Patriots' loss to the Seahawks today. But damn, they've been to 12 of them and they've lost 6. Our fans have been to 5 and lost 3. Losing to the Cowboys, beating the Redskins/Commanders and Vikings, then losing to the Skins and the Niners. That was 1984, man. We are losers now, but we weren't always. We weren't always. What I'm trying to say is that it's amazing that a team in our lifetime has been so, as you know, has been to so many Super Bowls, and I've never seen our team get to the dance in my many years as a Dolphin. So I had an epiphany, and that's a big word like mayonnaise, that finishing second isn't all bad, man. Some teams finish 32nd. Now, that's really shitty. So all I want is an invitation to the dance, an opportunity. I try to tell y'all.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
Nice.
Hopefully not the second best tried to tell y'all that we have tonight, but that was really good, dude. Good stuff. Well, Chris Perkins, before it's 9:50, I think we got 10 minutes left till the Starbucks over there closes. So we're gonna let you have the floor, man.
All right. I tried to tell y'all that defense.
He was trying to tell us.
I know. Can I tell y'all this? That defense is coming back in the NFL. Now, look, the last 3 teams that have won the Super Bowl have been defense-led teams. I'm sorry. I can't do any better than this. But, look, Seattle had a top 10 defense and a top 10 scoring defense. So did New England. The last 3 Super Bowl champions have been in the top 10 in defense and scoring defense. So defense coming back in the NFL, it's a way to win when you don't have that franchise quarterback. I think that's the way the Dolphins ought to go. I'm trying to tell y'all, but I know I can't tell y'all anything. I can tell by the way you're laughing, but I'm trying to tell y'all defense is the way the Dolphins need to go. That's the NFL trend right now.
That's what he tried to tell us, y'all. He told us. He told us. Seth, you're muted. Seth, you're muted.
No, I'm not. I'm being Perk.
Hey, Perk, we're going to need a transcript of what you tried to tell us.
Yeah, drop that in the chat. Can you drop that in the chat for us?
Can you send us the transcript of what you tried to tell us, man? Because I think all I heard was I'm trying to tell y'all.
I'm going to have to tape it and send it in every week.
I was just going to say, Juice, you're still in the lead, but Mike says that's the greatest I tried to tell y'all ever. The 1990s European Reporter satellite delay tip. So good. So good. Savak, do you have one tonight? I mean, good luck following that.
I do have one. Do y'all even want to hear it, though? Yeah.
I do. I'd like to hear all of it, in fact.
Sure, why not? Look. All right, I tried to tell y'all not just that the Seahawks would win the Super Bowl, but why. And we all know the old saying, defense wins championships. And hell, even my wife can tell you that. But I would argue that just as important is one word, and it's not a mayonnaise word, Juice. Depth. What truly separated those 2 teams from one another? What separates Miami from the teams that make deep playoff runs? We already said it, gentlemen. That's why we can't be so top-heavy and star-driven. This ain't the NBA. Kind of reminds me of, if I could, the German national team from the 2014 World Cup. every single team had their guy. Everybody had a superstar except Germany. They just had a great team. Not a single recognizable name on the roster, yet all talented and somehow interchangeable. That's the kind of team we got to build if we want to go the distance. And it's not to suggest the superstars aren't nice to have, but they can't be everything. They can be a great addition, a little extra on top. They can't be the foundation. You don't eat ice cream for dinner. You need meat and potatoes. And I know we get tired of hearing that next man up mentality stuff, but it's true. And thankfully, Miami might be getting ahead of the curve, snagging a defensive-minded head coach and a Green Bay-trained GM that shares that mentality. And Miami's long-term prospects are looking up because the chefs in the kitchen understand that the cornerstone of any great balanced meal is, in fact, the proteins. So, to hell with what I tried to tell you. That's what Seattle just told us. The question is, are we going to listen?
Damn, there it is. Okay, good. Savak is coming strong here, man. Yeah, absolutely is. Well, fellas, I tried to tell y'all that Fish Tank Live just ain't Fish Tank Live unless Perk is in the house. And sure, he might only be in 75% of the time. And maybe you're going to catch every other word. Maybe you won't catch any of it. And there's a possibility that we might, you know, he might come in sideways. Could be portrait, could be landscape. We don't know what it's going to get.
That's a background.
Sam's son just said, what the fuck did Perk just try to say? I was trying to keep a straight face on it all. But the show is, find another live show. And there's a lot of them out there. And there's some really good ones. And there's some that do crazy numbers. And there's some that just are fighting for their seat at the table like us. But damn it, ain't nobody got a Chris Perkins like we have.
Nobody.
In fact, Perk goes on other shows and his shit is crystal clear.
Perfect.
Great. It and is. Perk, you know what? It's kind of like when the fat comedian gets skinny. He just isn't funny anymore. Perk with good Wi-Fi is just like any other beat writer in South Florida. But Perk, the way we get him, it's absolutely spectacular. Cool. So you're a good guy to come on here, and we're not paying you what some of these other shows are. We don't have the big budget like some of these other shows. Maybe we will when we move to the Dolphins Talk Network.
Right.
But dang it. We're so glad. And we'll give you a day off now and then if you need to take a couple weeks off.
I'm good.
Quite frankly,
I'm good.
That inconsistency perk isn't that much different than what we get when you're here. So I tried to tell y'all, Fish Tank Live ain't Fish Tank Live when Chris Perkins isn't here.
Damn!
He's a Fish Tank Liver for life.
Damn! That's good, Seth. That's good. That's good.
Oh, that's all we got.
We're at the Perk's house right now to put some boosters in, man. We got it.
No! Don't ruin it.
One booster.
So Mike, Aliva, and I were talking. He goes, you know, when we move over to the Dolphins Talk Network and we're going to be using a different platform to live stream, he said, you know, I don't know what you're going to do if Chris starts coming in and if Perk's just crystal clear and all of a sudden we can hear everything he said. It may not be that we're going to have to come up with a new bit.
Right.
That's right.
What are we going to do without that?
Right.
Trading cards. I don't know. I don't know.
We got to, you know, we got to start putting the clips out. What you missed from Chris Perkins.
That's right.
I'm going to do that. We're going to cut that up.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Hey,
we have
it'll be
our
like the lost
go
episodes.
Ahead,
Chris, you're the best, though, bro. Honestly, let's keep it a buck real quick, man. You know, we might not understand a lot sometimes, but you bring it, bro. And, you know, you got a lot of great stuff that you bring to the table for us, man. We truly appreciate you, man. But, boy, you keep us going, man. And I love it, man. It's good stuff, brother.
Look what they're saying in the chat. At this point, I don't want Perk to come in crystal clear. We want Perk on delay. If you want Perk crystal clear, read his column in the Sun Sentinel. He does a great job, and it's always you can get every word. You won't miss a single word. Or listen to Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk. But if you want Perk in his back, you make sure you're back here next Wednesday.
Right here. That's right. Right here. I don't even know what I can say at this point because it's gonna. You'll hear it Thursday.
Hey, I know we didn't. I really enjoyed the halftime show, the one I watched on TV. But Perk came in like Bad Bunny today. Sometimes, you know, man, didn't understand a fucking thing he was saying. But it's all good, man.
He's an international superstar.
But he's an international star, man. And I tuned in for every minute of it. Perk, appreciate you, man. For sure.
That's right. International, I'm known here and in Montreal. Yeah.
Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's kind of.